Welcome to MuggleCast, your home for hot fandom debates like, are the Harry Potter movies Christmas movies? I'm Andrew.
I'm Eric.
I'm Micah.
And I'm Laura.
And today we're looking back on the Harry Potter fandom in 2022, and we'll look ahead to 2023, and we'll also look at some of our favorite MuggleCast episodes of the year. Do you all think that Harry Potter movies are Christmas movies? Because I've actually seen this debate come up quite a bit this year.
I would say the first two definitely are.
Agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think it also has to do with the time of year those movies came out, right? We know the first two movies came out in November. I don't think they're the only movies that came out in November, but there was a decided Christmas element in both of those movies. I actually remember this being a hot debate when I did that BBC interview a year or so ago for the 20th anniversary of Sorcerer's Stone. The host, Colin, was like very adamant that Sorcerer's Stone is not a Christmas movie. So it is a hot debate.
Then he's not a real fan.
Yeah.
That Sorcerer's Stone is the most Christmas movie of them all, actually. There's something about the combination of Chris Columbus directing and John Williams scoring that's straight out of Home Alone. And that's a Christmas movie. So.
Yeah, and I think it's the feeling that you get when you watch these movies, not just the first two. I mean, many of them, you get a similar feeling. And I think for the longest time, maybe they still do this, ABC Family, or now they're called Freeform. They've been through a million different names. They always run the Harry Potter movies during their like 25 days of Christmas. So they kind of like pushed onto the public this idea that they are Christmas movies just because they run them during that Christmas block.
Now, I would argue the last six movies are Halloween movies.
Yeah.
They're so dark. Fair. They're drained of all color.
Laura mentioned, didn't Goblet of Fire come out in November, December?
Yeah.
That was a November release, yeah.
And I mean, and that's a Christmas movie if there ever was one.
I would say that's a Boxing Day movie.
Yes.
Also in, what is it, Deathly Hallows Part 1, doesn't Hermione say Happy Christmas? Or it's a Christmas
Godric's Hollow.
When they're on in Godric's Hollow. Yeah, so that's a Christmas, automatic Christmas movie right there.
Yeah, I mean, they're just in the middle of the Second Wizarding War, trying to take down a genocidal maniac on Christmas. Yeah, I love it.
And it's snowing.
It's no different than Die Hard, and everybody says that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It's funny you should ask that, Andrew, because somebody in one of my meetings this past week asked the very same question at the top of the call. What's your favorite Christmas movie? And I did give mine, but I did add at the end that I think that the first two Harry Potter films are definitely Christmas movies, and people agreed.
Okay. Yeah. I think most people feel that way. Okay. I just wanted to check.
That's unsolicited feedback.
We have spoken. At least the first two are Christmas movies. But speaking of holidays, Laura, by the way, it's your birthday, December 19th.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
A national holiday. International holiday.
International holiday.
I love hearing it's been established that way.
You got any plans for your birthday?
Honestly, keeping it pretty low key, you know, having a birthday the week of Christmas kind of limits what all you can do and who all is available. So I usually just hang out at home. We usually end up building Legos. My boyfriend usually gets me some kind of Lego set and my favorite bottle of gin. And we sit around and make gin and tonics and build Legos and either watch Harry Potter,
a Christmas movie,
or The West Wing. It just depends on what my mood is.
What's your favorite gin?
Conniption gin. It's the gin that actually got me into gin.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
And we're just making festive drink recommendations here. We're not, you know, we're not talking in excess for the kiddos.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
I'm just thinking about our audience.
A little bit of that around the holidays. Very nice.
Bracing for a letter from a parent.
I thought you were going to say the gin that got you into Legos.
Or the Legos that got me into gin.
Yeah. I have a legit question, though. Do you get double presents because birthday and Christmas, or do people try and shortchange you and, you know, combine it all into one?
So the people who I'm closest with do not do that. But it actually was a childhood pet peeve of mine because I can't tell you the number of times I had people say to me, here's your birthday/Christmas present. And I was like, you know what? when your birthday happens in April, I'm going to say the same thing to
you.
Oh, man. But, you know, I grew out of it. But yeah, no, the people closest to me don't do that.
Well, Andrew and Micah, you two have a Christmas present coming from me. But Laura, you have a birthday present coming from me in the mail this week.
Wow.
It's not a Christmas / birthday present based on recent information. It's just
oh my gosh, you're totally
a birthday
fine.
Present.
You're totally fine.
Recent information gathered 30 seconds ago.
Yes.
Well, no, I actually sent you three something. I don't think Mike and Eric got it yet because I haven't heard from them, or maybe they're just disappointed with it.
My gosh,
your love is enough, Andrew.
Well, but Laura already received it. I don't know if we should. I was hoping everybody would have it by Saturday, but
I haven't received this.
I just need to go to the P.O. box.
Eric was like, send it to the P.O. box, not my home.
Well, we have Porsche thieves, you know.
So Laura received this out of the blue the other day.
I was so pleasantly surprised. You know, it's the time of year where boxes are hitting the doorstep pretty frequently because of Christmas shopping. And I get this box a couple of days ago that I'm like, wait, what is this? I don't remember ordering another thing. And then I see it's from Nevada. And I was like, oh, I think I know who this is from. Of course, I open it up and it is this beautiful box of delicious cookies from Andrew, Pat, and Brooklyn. And something that I just want to note on here, Andrew, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I think your box of cookies was intercepted by Albus Dumbledore because he wrote me a note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you say?
He said that he was including a couple of his personal favorite cookie flavors in there as an apology, as an attempt to make amends, because he heard that we've, quote, been hating on him on the pod, which I really appreciate. I'm like, Dumbledore's trying to adapt to millennial American vernacular. And I just think that's so great. You know, he is trying to connect with his audience and with the people that he is trying to make amends with. So, you know, happy holidays, Dumbledore. I don't know if I forgive you, but the cookies were delicious.
Oh, come on.
Let's knock a few points off the Dumbledore lie count that we're keeping track of over on Chapter by Chapter.
Yes.
In fairness, we've gone through 6 chapters of Chamber of Secrets, and we have not upped his lie count once. So perhaps
we've been pretty nice.
Making amends a bit with Albus.
Dumbledore sent you all his own cookies as well. They're called Dumbledore's Delights. And like Laura said, it's for his mistakes over the course of the Harry Potter books. He's trying to get on y'all's good side because he's been listening to the pod and picking up the American vernacular, as Laura alluded to. He understands he's made some whoopsies in his time. So enjoy his apology gift.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. That's very kind.
Sorry for putting this child up as a pig for slaughter. Have these cookies.
Hey, if they're good.
Yeah, they were delicious.
A batch of cookies can fix anything.
I agree with that.
And you all should be on the lookout, by the way, for something from me I picked up when I was in Orlando back in March.
Wait, for the last 9 months, I should have been looking for something?
No. I saved it for the holiday season.
I love that we just thought to all get each other something. That's really nice.
That's beautiful. Well,
Laura, you have 8 days.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I haven't sent anything yet.
You have 8 days.
You all might be getting a New Year's gift to ring in.
Classy, Laura. Classy.
Laura's like, it's my birthday this week. I'm not sending out any gifts.
Yeah. No, it's not that. I got the box of cookies, and actually, this is not the first time that you and Pat have sent cookies. And I got it, and when I opened it, I was like, oh man, I suck.
I'm pretty sure you said that last year too.
I gotta rectify this.
And speaking of, we're in the midst of our Secret Santa with our patrons.
Yes, looking forward to that very much. About 90 participants over on our MuggleCast patrons Facebook group this year. Thanks again to Brittany for running that. And it's going to be a very exciting rest of this year into early new year for the deadline.
You can really tell we're at the end of the year here.
Yeah, you can. We haven't really gotten into our main discussion today.
This
but that's
is nice.
Okay.
This is like, you know, a little banter and catch up.
Well, it is going to be a looser episode today. Let's talk about MuggleCast this past year. We released 48 episodes this year. Of course, probably the biggest news of the year for us is that we revived Chapter by Chapter. We're starting from the beginning, bringing some of our popular segments back for that. And we're very much looking forward to continuing that in the years ahead. We also had a great year on Patreon. We started the MuggleCast Collectors Club, and we shipped the first ever MuggleCast wand. So, great year on Patreon. Thank you to everybody who supports us there. We really could not do this without you. And our social media manager, Chloe, put together a list of the top five MuggleCast moments on social media. And by this, we mean the post that performed the best. Do y'all remember this one? Chloe put together a Instagram reel.
Oh my God.
Kind of like invoking all the nostalgia of the past. Yeah. The prompt was, why do you wish you were a teenager in the mid 2000s? And then it cuts to like a bunch of photos and videos from us.
To be our friends when we were doing MuggleCast as kids.
Yeah. People love this. That post did really well. Another one that did really well, and this tied into Black History Month, we did Black Harry Potter content creators. You should follow this Black History Month. We'll talk more about that episode that we did in February in a little bit. And this one, Micah, this was especially for you. We had Dan Fogler, who plays Jacob, send you a birthday message through Cameo. It was quite wild.
Can we play that through audio again, just to recap?
Yeah, we could play it again. Memory.
Yeah, this was a great surprise. I really appreciated the, I'll say it, the 40th birthday present from you guys.
Wow.
Before you play it, though, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast, but when we were in Boston at LeakyCon, bought that t-shirt, Kowalski's Bakery, and I was going back into the hotel, into the elevator, and all of a sudden, who gets in the elevator with me but Dan Fogler? And I did like a quick, like, pulled whatever jacket I was wearing over my shirt, because I didn't want to be one of those people in those moments who, like, if he turns and looks at you and he sees his face on the shirt, that it would have been kind of awkward, but I do know that the person who I bought the shirt from did say, like, he's actually purchased the same shirt. There's aprons appropriately for Jacob's bakery that he purchased as well. So looking back on it, maybe he wouldn't have been as freaked out. Maybe he would have been appreciative.
Yeah. And where was this?
This was in the elevator. So it's, you know, like, if you meet him, like, in in Boston. It was at LeakyCon.
Yeah, LeakyCon.
Oh, LeakyCon. Okay. I mean, he expects that at a Harry Potter conference.
That's true.
You know, something like that.
I don't know. But, like, in the lobby is one thing. In an elevator is a little, I don't know.
Yeah, you're, like, trapped for a few seconds.
Yeah, he can't. He's going to be like, oh, man. I'm stuck with this guy till like the 15th floor and there's 50 other people getting off.
Did you say hi to him at least?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, as we'll see, a cool dude.
He said hi to you too.
So here's the cameo.
Micah, for Micah, for Micah, for Micah. Booked by MuggleCast. Dun, 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 dun. Here's my magic wand. Yo. Okay. You are a goat aficionado, Micah. Who doesn't love Aberforth? Who likes goats? Your birthday soon. October, no, 8/17. See, here's the thing. I'm 10/20, right? October. Octagon. Octopus. That's 8, not 10. So why do you have August? That makes no sense. Micah loves you. Hey, Micah, guess what? I know. Let me tell you something. Jacob and the bakery in the Fantastic Beasts movies is also my favorite part. I like Azkaban. That's my favorite Harry Potter movie. Anyway, I'm a Hufflepuff. Have a happy birthday, Micah.
I want some of what he's having.
One take Dan Fogler. That's his game on Cameo.
Maybe it's conniption gin and you've already got it.
Maybe it is. I'll have to ask.
I did do some research in answer to Dan's question just now. The reason that October, oct meaning 8, is not the 8th month is that the old Roman calendar, when it was named, used to start in March. So October used to be the 8th month.
Oh, wow.
November, December, dec meaning 10, DEC. So January and February were added and they screwed it all up.
Next time you see Dan, You should tell him this.
No, this happened in 153 BCE.
Well, we can book another cameo and tell him, and I'm sure he'll remember what we're referring to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our next most popular post was a really great gallery, MuggleCast Through the Years, and Chloe created this beautiful timeline of some of the more popular and momentous occasions for MuggleCast in our 17-year history.
I'm going to claim credit for about 50% of the sexiness of this image. There's that one where Jamie has his arms around me and we're both looking directly into the camera. That's my favorite photo ever taken of me. And it adds, yeah, there's something about it. There's something about it. And thank you, Chloe, for putting that front and center.
And then this final item here, we got in on that Spirit Halloween meme that everybody was sharing where you create your own costume and it'll say, like, we didn't talk about this on air, but like mine says, Andrew, late blooming Slytherin, a mediocre but well-loved Dumbledore impression. Wizards Unite, still downloaded to your phone. Big on Harry Potter Twitter. Grindelwald and Dumbledore apologist. Am I a Grindelwald apologist?
I think you've dabbled.
Okay, so let's move on to our own favorite episodes of the year. And actually, our listeners chimed in as well. I'll kick things off. And Eric, thanks for putting together. He kind of put together like a bank of probably like literally almost half of our episodes.
He did my job for me to update the Wall of Fame page, basically.
Well,
is what he did.
You're welcome.
No, there's a few other years that need to be added to, but Eric, thank you so much because this will come in very handy.
Oh, yeah. No, you're welcome. It helps to remind myself as I was going through and picking out sort of all that we've done. And then there's also the question of all that we've done this year. So like, because the years are blending together, I started with Jan 3 and anything I didn't find was something we did a year or two ago. Like we talked to Ivana, not this year. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to go look at that episode. And also all of the house specific episodes were actually in 2021. I thought that they were in 2022.
So that was a good exercise. And I did pull at least half the episodes. It was pretty much everything except it's rare that a mailbag episode, which I love to do, is like any one topic that stands out to be like the highlight of the overall thing. So a lot of those didn't make it, even though I love them. And then the chapter by chapter episodes, I mostly didn't include just because, again, we're going through what's a standout moment versus other episodes that were about more standout topics. But Micah, I see you put one on anyway for your list.
I did. Yeah, we'll get to that. But I was just going to say at the top here, this is very helpful too for especially me. Like I've run into a lot of people at work in particular who I've gotten into the podcast and they always ask for episode recommendations. And now instead of like scrolling through the MuggleCast website, I can just reference this document and be like, here are some of our more recent episodes. But I will tell you, it was a topic at the holiday party. Andrew, you should be very happy about this. But like most of the people that came up, because here's the thing, I know I mentioned a couple episodes ago, I posted on LinkedIn our Spotify numbers. And so a lot of people have been coming up to me saying either I didn't know you did a podcast or that's really cool. How can I listen? So
that is cool.
MuggleCast is becoming popular at the NBA.
That's beautiful.
Mike is promoting the pod. No, yeah, I think it's a very unique thing that we do. It's not every day you hear that somebody not just hosts a podcast, but also hosts a popular podcast. So
yeah, 17 years plus.
Yeah, yeah. I'll kick things off. We're each bringing two of our favorite episodes of the year to the table. I want to call out number 566. This was back in June. The title was WB is planning HBO Max Harry Potter shows. We pitch lots of new ideas. So this came after a report that the CEO of Warner Brothers, the new one, David Zaslav, was going to be meeting with J.K. Rowling, apparently flying over there to talk to her about what they'd like to do. And we had a really good time with our Slug Club guest, Neil, pitching Harry Potter TV shows. And I was really proud of the ideas that we came up with. I think genuinely very good ideas. Like an episode, this was Laura's idea dedicated to the missing 24 hours, or a show exploring Salazar Slytherin's backstory. And then we had fun coming up with gag type shows too, like Trelawney's Truckers inspired by Ice Road Truckers. And we get to link back to that one every time there's new murmurs about a Harry Potter TV show.
Yeah, no, I love it. It was one of those things where it's like a simple concept of like, just think of anything you can and we put it together. And it was just all extremely entertaining.
Definitely. Yeah. And I know we're going to talk about this, but I think that's the most likely thing to happen in 2023 that we're going to get as fans, at least an announcement of some sort.
I really love, and I know I've mentioned this a lot lately, but that's because I love it, our interview with Thomas Taylor, the illustrator of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone first UK cover. We did this because it was the 25th anniversary of that book coming out, and really just talking about kind of like the humble origins of it all. Like, Micah sent me out of the blue this news article that was an interview with Thomas Taylor, and I didn't know at all who he was or what he had done. But it went into the story of how in the man on the back cover, which is a huge mystery for some diehard Harry Potter fans, was based on his father. I said, well, I think, you know, Mike and I were talking about whether we should try and get him on. And I reached out over Twitter and just said, hey, you know, I'm really moved by this story that you paid homage to your dad and really want to hear more about it. And we have a podcast. Would you come on? And after that, we know he gave a really good interview and was very kind. And it turns out I found a new book series to love as well, his Eerie on Sea. So it's just one of those unexpected gifts that comes to you and becomes more and more over time. I'm really happy of that experience this year.
Yeah,
it was a fun time. Great episode. He was lovely.
And I know Twitter is quite a mess right now, but if you want a good follow, definitely follow Thomas Taylor on Twitter, because there's a lot of just feel good stuff. I think he's actually traveling, right? He's on book tour now in Turkey, the last I saw. But
his fourth book is out.
What I love about interviewing him too is, like, sometimes you think, you know, you got to get sort of like the big stars of the Harry Potter series. And like, I would say he's a star in his own right, obviously. But I think like when you get the time to be able to sit down and talk to some other folks who have been, you know, integral in their own way to Harry Potter, whether it's the books or the movies, you get a really great conversation like we did with Thomas Taylor.
Yeah, he talks about his love-hate relationship too, with the fact that he doesn't even own a copy, I think, of the original because he's like embarrassed and nervous.
Laura, what you got for us?
Yeah, so one of my favorites, and I'm going to be biased here, but you know what? It's the holidays, so I think I'm allowed. One of my favorites is episode 576, where we talked about the physics of Harry Potter. We actually had my boyfriend Mark on for that episode. So in addition to him just being my favorite person, and it was really great to have him on the show, I thought it was a really spirited conversation that actually mirrors some real life conversations that we've had about the physics of the wizarding world and how all of this works, how spells are created, what's the origin of magic. And of course, this episode was where we coined Poop Mountain as the destination for Evanesco.
How does Mark feel about that? Like he contributed
the legacy
at that level to the show.
He loves it. But no, it was a great time, and it's actually inspired some really good feedback from listeners on kind of an ongoing basis. We've had a couple of mailbag episodes where people have reached out with physics questions about Harry Potter. Of course, I am not a physicist, but you know, we just had a good time using the basic laws of physics to try and explain how certain things in the wizarding world must work. I know one of the things we talked about was food in the Harry Potter universe and sort of explaining how food can be duplicated without depreciating the nutritional value. And we had some theories around, you know, why certain characters like Ron, for example, eats so much all the time, and how that could actually be a really deep interpretation around, you know, Ron's family's socioeconomic class, for example. So it was just a really cool episode. I enjoyed it, and we had a good time.
That's got to go on the Wall of Fame.
Yeah. Poop Mountain.
Poop Mountain.
That's on the Wall of Fame. Honestly, we should change the title of the episode.
I don't know about that, but
not good for SEO?
Probably not. Or clicks.
It could be. We don't know. I went with episode 580, Sorting Too Soon. This is when we did chapters 7 and 8 of Sorcerer's Stone. Eric, I apologize for choosing an episode that includes chapter by chapter, but what I really enjoyed about this is we had Rowan Gotobed on the show, a longtime MuggleCast listener, played young Sirius Black in the Harry Potter films, and I thought was a great addition to the show, and did his research, read the chapters, brought amazing points to the discussion. And he did share a little bit of a fun story. I don't know if it ended up making the show, but we were asking him, maybe it was during the pre-show, about his last name. Was it actually Gotobed? And he mentioned that there's like this, I don't know if it's like a folklore type story about, you know, how those in his family came from a village in England called Little Snoring. And that's how he that's ended right. up with the last name Gotobed. I thought that was really fun, but just a great person to have join the show. And the chapters that we discussed too, were some of the most important of Sorcerer's Stone, the Sorting Hat and the Potions Master. Lot of fun digging into some topics that we otherwise probably wouldn't have discussed those many, many years ago when we first went through Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, he was super cool. I want to also share episode 555. This was the 1998-1999 Hogwarts school year deep dive. And the reason I wanted to include this one is because I know one of our listeners, Annette, had actually inspired this idea. She had written in suggesting we talk about this. And it was just such a fun topic to explore, and really one of the benefits of having a Harry Potter podcast, not only getting great ideas from our listeners, but also just being able to spend, what, probably well over an hour talking about what that year looked like, because it's always come up here and there, but we never really went deep on it. And I just thought it was a really good discussion. And it's almost like you're exploring the 8th Harry Potter story, because, of course, it was the year right after Harry's final year at the school. So I thought that was a really fun episode, and just one of the many reasons why I love doing this show, doing a lot of brainstorming and dreaming up theories and ideas about what happened before and after the core story.
Yeah. And, you know, listeners may know that we do Quizzitch every week, but there was at least one, and I think closer to two, Quizzitch Lives this year. And number 573 of MuggleCast is the Quizzitch Live. It's our 17th anniversary celebration. We did MuggleCast a History. So all of the quiz questions are about us and about the show that we have created. And this was a lot of fun to put together, but it was more fun to even go through it. And the episode is produced like we did the trivia as an episode of MuggleCast. So it's real fun, hopefully, to listen back to. So I thought this was great. We talked about titles of episodes that we had done, guests that we had had on, our hosts' home state slogans, and everything else. so it was just, and segments too. And that was when we announced that we were returning to chapter by chapter in the final question.
Oh yeah, that was a good tie-in.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, that was what? Our at least 8th Quizzitch Live, I think. So
yeah, at least, yeah. I think it's closer.
We finally did one about ourselves, and it was timed around our birthday. So it all worked out well.
The other episode I wanted to call out today is actually one that happened back in February, which I don't know, in this timeline feels like a million years ago at this point. But this was episode 551, where we talked about the importance of Black representation in Harry Potter. And this actually featured Adriana Redding, who led her team, the Hufflepuff team, to victory on Harry Potter Tournament of Houses. So with her, we talked about the importance of representation in the wizarding world. You know, where there are some areas that, you know, some of the legacy content, like thinking the core books, even some of the earlier marketing materials could have stood to improve on the front of inclusion. But we also talked about how many opportunities there are for the Wizarding World franchise to become more diverse and more inclusive. And we talked about the ways in which, you know, Fantastic Beasts, say what you will about the story, was making an effort to be more inclusive and show people of more diverse backgrounds. So, I mean, Adriana was just a perfect guest to have on during Black History Month. And it was so great hearing about her experience on Tournament of Houses. She was such a great guest. And one of the themes I'm seeing from a lot of our favorite episodes is that we've had great guests this year. But she was really wonderful. And that discussion was just, you know, really impactful. You know, I think for us as a panel, thinking about what we would like to see represented in the Wizarding World moving forward. And, you know, hopefully some execs were listening and taking notice of it, because there is just a massive opportunity to show the vast community of Harry Potter fans, people who look and sound like them, represented in this world.
Yeah, and I remember we got a lot of good feedback about that episode too. So it's always nice to hear from the listeners.
And great influencer energy in our guest.
Yeah.
Like it's always interesting to be working with people who are actively able to do the whole IG stuff. So.
And then to wrap this up, the second episode that I chose was episode 548, did back right at the start of February. Will there ever be another Harry Potter level book series? And I feel like this is a discussion we can probably have many, many times over, but I feel like we were all fortunate enough to live through the heyday of Harry Potter, the rise of this book series in terms of its popularity. We were all working over on MuggleNet for many years, and it was just a fun conversation that we all had about whether or not we felt that there was going to be another series that would come along and rival Harry Potter. We talked about Twilight. We talked about The Hunger Games and Divergent. They were the follow-up, but I don't think they ever came close to reaching the celebrity status of Harry Potter. And I think that we were all in agreement that Potter was a once-in-a-lifetime book series, right?
Well, don't spoil the ending.
Oh, sorry. Please go listen. Ignore my last comment. But maybe the most important thing from the episode is we announced that we are now on TikTok.
Oh, that was big.
But no, I thought this was just a really kind of great discussion. We shared other series that we had read ourselves that we thought would come along and maybe try and have a similar level of impact. I mentioned them, but we talked a little bit about Star Wars too, and how Star Wars has continued on to be relevant even today, and what Harry Potter might be able to do similarly. Spinoff series were one of them. And I know we'll probably, again, get to that a little bit later on in the show when we talk about what Potter can do moving forward to stay relevant.
We also received some listener-submitted favorite episodes. Stubborn Optimist Sarah said, first new chapter by chapter. I love them and was so excited to get started. Somebody else, we don't have the name here, but The Science Behind Magic with Laura's Boyfriend.
Oh, that was me. I was double dipping. I was putting in suggestions on Twitter.
Okay.
Thank you for the endorsement.
Taylor Marvolo Riddle said, the one with Laura and Chloe. Love having more women on the pod. A lot of people said the Indefensible Characters episode. And I think actually we did two of those.
Yeah, those were really, really fun. This just jogged my memory. Remember when we did a debate about Umbridge?
we were debating
whether it was her fault that she ended up the way she did, or whether, you know.
Yeah, it was like her upbringing.
Yeah, or whether it was her upbringing and she really wasn't at fault for it. I don't even remember which side of that debate I was on, but I remember it being very spirited. It was a lot of fun.
I was on the upbringing side. I remember that. I don't know who was with me, though.
I don't remember either, but the episodes for Indefensible Characters are 568 and 575.
Ren Lifestyle said literally all of them because you guys are perfect. Well, thank you, Ren. Aww. That's sweet.
You're perfect.
Have another indefensible characters vote from R. Schwartz Bard. And they, as well as some others, said really loving chapter by chapter. Pat, my boyfriend, said the one that I was on. I did not produce this segment.
He's allowed to say that since he made cookies for all of us.
That's right.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, fine. Justin D. York said any episode with Pat and Mark.
Oh.
Geeky Girl Goes said the Dirty Pickup Lines bonus ep on Patreon always has me laughing and in tears.
Thanks, Olivia.
Yeah, that was fun.
That is fun.
Chew Snacka said 544, the reunion review and all of the What If episodes. But to be fair, I love every episode. That's very sweet. Yeah, this was the first year we did an episode like right after New Year's, because it's hard to believe, but that darn reunion was at the start of this year. That was New Year's Day.
God.
That's wild.
This year.
They've been playing that on TV too.
Anonymous said 566 HBO Max series ideas. And then another anonymous. Who are these anonymous? You can come forward with your ideas. MuggleCast trivia and telling Fred and George apart. That was fun too.
That was a good episode.
Oh yeah, that was a great episode.
That was in April of 2021.
Really?
Yeah. God, if you want to feel old, we did that last April.
2021 or 2022?
2021. How to tell Fred and George Weasley apart and more twin talk. Yeah.
Oh, well then.
See, this just goes to show, again, I think all of our concepts of time are so off right now, because I remember things that happened in 2021 that I'm distinctly perceiving as having happened in 2022. And then when I see they happened the prior year, it kind of throws me off. So
yeah,
listeners who picked 2021 episodes, I'm there with you.
You're disqualified, but we agree.
It's been a good year of episodes, and 2021 evidently was a good year of episodes as well.
Next on this episode, it's time for some Muggle mail that's been accruing in our mailboxes. Here is an email from listener Jerry. She says, I am a 65-year-old Hufflepuff, favorite book Prisoner of Azkaban, favorite movie Fantastic Beasts. I enjoy your holiday buying guide episode and want to mention two ways I'm enjoying a Harry Potter Christmas season. First off, HBO Max has given subscribers a Christmas card of sorts, Hogwarts Holidays Fireplace. This program is a bit over half an hour and provides viewers with a chance to visit the common room of all four houses. I found it an enjoyable something to have on the set when writing holiday cards or doing some light exercise after a large holiday meal. If I had been the producer, I would have made some changes. Ravenclaw deserved a fire, and the poor Raven should have been allowed outside out of the inside out of the cold. And I think Hufflepuff could have used a plate of ginger newts. But creative differences aside, an entertaining tidbit. I have to see this show. I also helped to get myself into the holiday spirit by listening to the fundraiser Wizard Rock album Jingle Spells, organized by the Leaky Cauldron back in the mid-2000s sometime. I own the first three albums and enjoy listening to them each December. A blast from the past. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, good call out on this fireplace. I found this after seeing the email. I hadn't seen them promote this at all. Maybe I missed a post on social media. But yeah, it's cute. It's like a half hour long, and they spend, I guess, like 8 to 10 minutes in each of the four common rooms. The Slytherin one's kind of creepy. There's even a snake on like the potions table. And it's nice. These have become increasingly popular. Like Netflix has the Yule Log, and it's like a 2-hour video of a Yule Log burning. Disney Plus got in on this. They have Arendelle Yule Log from Frozen. And naturally, Harry Potter Wizarding World did one as well. So that was cool. So it's called Hogwarts Holidays Fireplace. We have a link here. Maybe we can put it in the show notes too. If you have HBO Max, you can watch this for a half hour.
I'm curious though about the raven. That seems off canon. It actually should be an eagle.
Yep. It's a shared gripe that we have, Micah, as Ravenclaws.
I'll join in there.
That all of the Wizarding World marketing gets this wrong.
Who made this?
Who checked it?
I'm not trying to spoil Christmas for everybody who's going to watch this.
This does it. This spoils Christmas for me.
Well, it's just, it's on in the background. You don't have to stare at it. You don't have to look at the wrong animal.
Next email comes from Brianne talking about Hogwarts transportation. She says, "Hey, MuggleCast. My name is Brianne. I'm a high school teacher in Washington State. I found MuggleCast during the pandemic, which was one of the few good things that stemmed from those times." Well, thank you. Thanks for keeping my childhood slash teenagerhood alive and making mowing the lawn fly by every week. I think my neighbors think I'm nuts when I laugh or respond to an episode out loud. I am one of the lucky millennials that grew up with Harry and the gang. Big thanks to my third grade teacher, Mrs. Foster, for reading our class book one back in 1999. I've been obsessed ever since and now have my wife hooked. I have a ton of questions regarding the series, but one fun question her and I were discussing the other night regarded transportation to the Triwizard Tournament. Assuming that Hogwarts does not host the Triwizard Tournament every time, you know, wouldn't want home wizarding school advantage, how do you think Hogwarts champions would travel to the event? I know that the previous tournament was held around 1294-ish, but looking at the means of travel to the 1994 tournament for both Durmstrang, underwater ship, and Beauxbatons, carriage pulled by flying horses, both means could have been utilized in the 1200s. Hogwarts students would not have been able to use the Hogwarts Express, as trains did not exist yet, and Hagrid's trained flock of thestrals were also not around either. Broomsticks is the obvious answer, but well, that's boring. Would love to hear your thoughts and creative suggestions. Thanks to everyone for all you do, and happy holidays.
I don't know.
I love this. Great question. My first thought was going to be maybe thestrals, because that feels very Hogwartsian. But you're totally right. They wouldn't have been there. Maybe the Room of Requirement came in clutch here. Just thinking about how the Room of Requirement was used in the latest Fantastic Beasts movie.
Yeah.
So maybe there was some means of transport that the students were able to get through there.
Yeah.
We know it's not the entire student body, right? I mean, I think movie canon makes it seem like the whole school comes, but I think in the book, they chose a select group of students to come.
It's only people who were old enough, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that or the flu network. I think the Room of Requirement, especially in light of what we saw in Secrets of Dumbledore, does make a lot of sense.
The question, too, there would be, is the flu network even invented in 1294?
Right. Yeah, it's possible.
Good
it wasn't.
Question.
But I have a solution. It's the giant squid. I think that they each grab a hold of a tentacle. Yeah, that thing's hundreds of years old, surely. It's a cryptid. It's been around forever. So I think that they would take the giant squid around.
I love that. Our next email comes from Julian, or Julian, not sure about the pronunciation, who shared some crackpot theories he has from book one, but here's our favorite. Julian says, "The Sorcerer's Stone only gives out enough elixir for one dose for one person for perfect immortality. The dose's effectiveness lasts exactly as long as it takes to extract the next dose out of the stone. If Nicholas Flamel took it by himself, he would have kept his young body and long life to himself. But he loved his wife so much, he shares each dose with her, and that is why their bodies age. Also, this is why he is not bottling up elixir for future use or selling it."
Clever.
I like this.
I am blown away by this. This yeah. seems like the solution that fixes the plot hole or the way the world is.
So he's just a big sweetheart at the end of the day. That's
yeah.
He is. He is. And this would have been such an easy aside to include in the movie.
Yeah.
In, you know, some of the, you know, behind the scenes writings that we get from wizardingworld.com. Somebody just insert this in. Make it make sense.
More clever thinking comes from our listener, William. "Heyo, people of MuggleCast. I was listening to your Through the Trapdoor Sorcerer's Stone episode, and I found a connecting the threads moment that admittedly is small, but still kind of fun. In the Sorcerer's Stone chapter, when the trio fall through the trapdoor into the devil's snare, Hermione is panicking because she has no wood to start a fire, but Ron claims loudly that she is a witch. She finally uses magic to sort out the problem, though. In The Deathly Hallows, I'm not sure which chapter, the trio is again trying to get through a sort of trapdoor at the base of the Whomping Willow so they can get to Voldemort. When they arrive at the base of the tree, Ron states that it's a shame that they don't have Crookshanks, who would have been able to press the knot to freeze the tree branches. Hermione then claims loudly that Ron is a wizard, and he levitates a branch to press the knot. There are a few fun things about this. One, both instances have something to do with plants. Two, in both instances, Harry and the trio are trying to get after Voldemort. And three, Voldemort and Ron's places are switched in each book. Thank you for the podcast. I'm really enjoying it. I hope you guys don't stop anytime soon. Well, don't worry, William. We won't.
Yeah, this is a great connection.
Yeah. Well done. Our listeners are so smart.
I know. And I love that it shows growth for Ron. We see this at a couple of points at the end of book 7. We know that earlier in the series, he hated Crookshanks. So the fact that he's thinking of Crookshanks being here as a positive just shows Ron's character arc, right? Kind of coming, kind of overcoming his deficiencies earlier in the series. We see that as well with his mention of the house elves. We have to go free them. You know, they'll all be killed if we leave them here. So yeah, it's a great Ron moment. Great connecting the threads.
There's another email coming from Emily. She says, hey, y'all. And I think this was added in. I don't think this is when we made every feedback form say, hey, y'all. So thank you.
Keep it going,
thank
y'all.
Thank you, Emily. Yeah, keep it going. Strong into 2023. I'm having so much fun rereading the books with you during chapter by chapter, but there is one thing that is killing me. In episode 590, you all had a very interesting discussion about Arthur and Lucius's differing motivations for their work at the ministry. There's just one problem. Lucius doesn't work at the ministry. It gets brought up at the show from time to time, and I can't believe no one else has written in about it. They have, Emily. We just delete the email. But this is never said in canon. Quote, but he's always hanging out at the ministry, quote, you protest. Yes, and that's why it's especially shady that he hangs out there. Because he has no reason to. He just uses his money and family name to gain influence with ministry officials. Both the HP lexicon and the HP wiki, I know, Eric, I know, back me up. I think the confusion comes from the several scenes where Lucius is involving himself in ministry business, like attending Buckbeak's execution, skulking around Harry's hearing, but not because he works there, just because he has political clout. I promise you'll see as we get through the rest of the series. Little bit of condescension there. Anyway, I just like you guys. I criticize out of love. I love having my Harry Potter friends in my ears every week. So thanks for all you do. Love you guys. Best, Emily.
Aw.
Okay, Lucius.
That's so a great observation. And actually, Emily, what you're pointing out here is kind of meta in a way that as readers revisiting this series, we were under the impression, at least I was initially, that Lucius had some sort of post at the ministry and that he, you know, was doing that in order to, you know, buy influence there. But you're totally right. The fact of the matter is he doesn't have a position there. He's just a rich dude who has a lot of political clout and uses his coin to influence legal decisions, which has some parallels to real life. And it's super interesting because I think there are a number of people like this in the real world who probably do get confused with being politicians or somehow working in the government who actually don't. So I love this.
She provided a couple reasons why we and others might get confused, but I think another one is the fact that he is on the Hogwarts Board of Governors, and we conflate that with working for the ministry, but the Hogwarts Board of Governors is not technically part of the Ministry of Magic.
They're just concerned parents.
I swear, and maybe this was a movie-ism, doesn't Lucius say to Arthur, I'll see you at work?
Mm.
In Chamber of Secrets, maybe?
Yeah.
That might have been a movie-ism.
It's true we never get like an official position for Lucius within the ministry. So this is actually really interesting.
Well, I consider ourselves corrected.
Well, yeah. And I think it makes it even worse, to your point, Laura, that he doesn't have a job there yet. He is. He's almost like a lobbyist of sorts.
Yeah.
Micah, I literally Googled your quote and it is coming up as a quote from the movie. So I would just call that a movie inaccuracy.
Mm. I love when we can blame an official adaptation, official source. Yep.
I love the fact that 17 years later, we're still discovering things about this series.
Yeah.
They've been in the text all along.
All right. Our next email comes from Elizabeth, who says, "Hey, y'all, as Halloween came and went, I inevitably thought about the day when Lily and James Potter were killed. I've always wondered why Harry never mentions this on Halloween. I'm sure he knows when his parents were killed and would acknowledge it in some form or fashion on this holiday. Any thoughts would be appreciated." And I think she's referring specifically to Sorcerer's Stone. That's probably painful, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem a little strange. He might at least not even think about it.
I think visiting their graves in year 7 is the first time he really just sort of like confronts even thinking about it. He's mature enough to start looking back. Also, it helps that the first 16 years of his life, nobody walks up to him at Hogwarts on Halloween and is like, "Hey, sorry about your parents."
But happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. The other thing I would say is it's probably because Halloween is so much less important in Britain. I know it's like there's a Halloween feast and there's pumpkins at Hogwarts and all that, but it's really just not a holiday. So I think that the other wizards are not kind of constantly clued in to the day.
All right, moving on here. Our next email comes from Kayla, who says, "Hey, MuggleCast, I was just catching up on the last two episodes and loved the parallels you drew between each of the 7 challenges at the end of Sorcerer's Stone and each of the Harry Potter books. When you mentioned Goblet of Fire being a big chess game, that really clicked for me. Barty Crouch Jr. is orchestrating every step Harry takes throughout the book, making sure he gets to the end of the final challenge. Then I realized that sacrificing Ron in the end of the chess game actually parallels Cedric being killed as the final move before Harry faces Voldemort. My mind has been blown. Thank you all for continuing to find new ways to explore this series."
That's great.
And we know, I think the author had said that she was initially thinking about killing Ron off at some point. So had that happened, this would have been foreshadowing for Ron. But I love how we're able to draw a connection between Ron, you know, being knocked out during the chess match to Cedric's death at the end of Goblet of Fire.
Yeah. We're all thinking critically here. I love it. It's really
great.
Love
the literary analysis. Keep it going.
And finally, this email is from Jane. "Hi, y'all. Just finished listening to episode 591, and I had a thought. Micah spoke about the difference between killing via sound and killing via sight with the mandrakes and basilisk. This made me think about the ring theory and comparing Chamber of Secrets to Half-Blood Prince. In Half-Blood Prince, Ron almost dies via potion, and Katie almost does via the necklace, aka death via touch and death via taste. I don't think the author purposely did this, but it's just interesting having mirroring novels also mirror 2 sensory-based almost deaths. Not sure where smell comes into play. Maybe the troll in book 1, lol. Anyway, thanks for all you guys do. I enjoy listening each week."
Cool.
Thanks, Jane. Another
great
call out.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So we have a couple of official things we can talk about in terms of official releases coming in 2023. First of all, Hogwarts Legacy. This is a video game we've brought up numerous times. It's hitting PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series S and X and PC on February 10th, a little over a month away now.
Wow.
A little under 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have one of these latest systems or a PC, you will be getting it soonest. If you have a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, you'll get it April 4th. And if you're Micah and many other people, if your only system as of right now is the Nintendo Switch, you're waiting till July, July 25th. They just announced this. Micah, what are you going to do?
Get a PS5.
Yeah.
Seriously. Are we going to do a Let's Play of this
Twitch
game?
Yeah, we should stream on Twitch.
I think that would be fun.
I have a PS5. I'm definitely going to get it. I'm definitely going to pre-order it because they also have that. We spoke about this a couple months ago, like the early access where basically you get to be their test rat
Oh.
for them. I can't wait to run into lots of bugs on February 7th. No, but I'm really looking forward to it. They did another Let's Play type thing, actually, last week. Another half hour look at the game, and you saw how you could fly a broom and you can fly a hippogriff. I also saw train tracks in like Hogsmeade Station, so maybe we'll be seeing the Hogwarts Express too. I think that'll be very exciting. Oh my gosh, the game is just so beautiful.
Everything your heart desires in this game, Andrew, it's going
to
be there.
Except Quidditch. We're not getting Quidditch. That seems to be the only thing missing. Yeah.
Too bad.
Maybe that'll be in a DLC next year.
Kind of worried about playing it on a Nintendo Switch. I feel like for a game like this, much like Breath of the Wild, you need a big screen TV. Like you want to be able to enjoy the experience and not just like have it condensed down to a very small screen. But I'm interested to see. I mean, Harry Potter is going to do well regardless of platform, I feel like, but maybe they're holding it off not just for Breath of the Wild on Switch. Maybe they're going to look to improve some things based on what. Well, no, like you're saying, if it's coming out in February, I would assume that improvements will be made by July's release on Switch.
Oh yeah, but my the Breath of the Wild sequel is coming out in May, and I think they wanted to avoid releasing it around that time as well.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, they're very similar in terms of gameplay, it seems like.
And the reason I don't recommend it on the Switch is because the Switch is just not as powerful as even the PS4, and definitely not the PS5 or the latest Xbox system. So if you really want to immerse yourself in Hogwarts and the Wizarding World and get the best experience possible, you might want to look at, and they're kind of pricey, but you might want to look at a PS5 or Xbox Series X or S, because it's just going to look so much better on these systems compared to the Switch.
I'm just glad I can finally pipe in here to say I've now played and beaten Breath of the Wild. Very exciting.
Oh.
After all these years, I held off and I was sending Micah photo updates of the screen that I was taking as I was going. It was very encouraging. At first, I thought it would be too difficult and I would throw it down and not play it. And then 80 hours later, I beat it. So it was great.
It can be a challenge. I'm not going to lie.
It's tough. All the weapons keep breaking.
Ugh.
I was absolutely, that game gave me a love of video games again. It initially came out in 2017 with the Switch, and I was just consumed with it. So I cannot wait for the sequel, which comes out May 12th. But
I'm the biggest fan now.
So, yeah, we do that. That is, it's very likely this game is going to be very good, and we can't wait to play it. The other guaranteed thing I think we're getting in 2023 is Mina Lima will be releasing their Prisoner of Azkaban Illustrated Edition, and the first two were so good. I can't wait to see this next one. I initially was going to just stick with the Jim K Illustrated Editions, because how many Illustrated Editions series do I need?
Right.
But they do a really good job with them. So now I've already got the first two for chapter by chapter. I've been using those.
And no disrespect to Jim K, but Mina Lima are the ones who worked on the films, so you're getting a completely different perspective, number one. But you know, their love of the series is just, I think, unparalleled. Like, if you've ever had the opportunity to meet them in person and talk with them, they are super passionate. The detail that they put into their work is just unbelievable.
Well, it's just too, the inserts, the little tabs and things that you can pull out, and all the things they sneak into those books makes it feel in and of itself like a Wizarding World artifact.
Not to mention the books are physically smaller than the Jim K one. So if you want an illustrated edition you can actually hold comfortably, the Mina Lima ones are the way to go.
Well, so far, who knows, as they get into Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix, you know, 900 pages.
Well, yeah, they might be thicker, but they're not as like wide and tall. So those are the two official releases so far. There might be other surprises. I'll tell you one thing that probably won't come out in 2023, an actual Harry Potter scripted television show. We've been speaking about this so many times over the past year. There have been a lot of murmurs about television shows being in the works, or WB Discovery wanting to create a television show. But with nothing announced yet, at best, we might get an announcement of some sort in 2023, and then we'll maybe see it in 2024. But you also have to think, with a show like set in the Wizarding World, there's going to be a lot of special effects too.
They have to do something. And here's the reason why I say it. I was thinking about this before we sat down to record the show, is that a lot of what they've done hasn't been all that successful since the actual Harry Potter series itself. And look, I don't expect it to be as successful as that. But I think if you look at Cursed Child, if you look at the Fantastic Beasts series, there's been some flops along the way. And I think that they need to get whatever this next thing is right. And I think that they do need some kind of spinoff series. I'm thinking of most recently about Wednesday, you know, the spinoff to the Addams Family, hugely successful. Yeah. There's no reason why Harry Potter franchise cannot do something like that.
The new Star Wars show, Andor, everybody's raving about it. People cannot shut up about it.
I haven't been impressed, honestly. Like, I think like the writing, it's, I'm not just talking about like, yeah, it's great to go see the play or to watch the Fantastic Beasts films, but the writing just hasn't been there.
I agree. The stories haven't been as high quality, and we might never get another Harry Potter. It could be a once in a lifetime thing, but I wouldn't necessarily call them unsuccessful. Like, I think Cursed Child is successful. They've opened these stage plays across the world. They continue to run. They continue to do decent enough to keep the lights on. So I think those are a success. But I see your point about the story.
Yeah, I know we're a couple of years removed from it, but I will tell you, I hear it on the radio in the car when I'm driving Cursed Child. I see it on the subway. Like, they are trying to get people to go see this. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's nearing its run on Broadway.
Ooh, that's a Micah prediction. It's going to end in 2023. Well, of course, they did merge the two parts into one. Was that this year this happened? That happened?
Yes. Oh, post-COVID.
I think so.
It was coming out of COVID.
So that probably bought them an extra couple of years because...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're not successful. I just feel like they haven't delivered on what we as fans maybe were looking for, right? Like, the story of Cursed Child, everybody wants to rip it up and throw it in the garbage, but the experience of seeing Cursed Child is amazing.
To your point, Wednesday, the Addams Family, again, Andor, Justin in our Discord right now just mentioned House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones spinoff. It is possible to create excellent spinoffs or follow-ups that are very, very good and get tons of praise. And Harry Potter has not really had that moment yet.
Right. Well, I think part of it is what we've gotten, these stories, you know, Cursed Child, Fantastic Beasts, of course, they've had their moments and there are highlights about those things that we all really love and enjoy, but neither of those stories are things that fans were asking for. They could literally listen to any Harry Potter podcast. They could go to any web forum. It just takes a little bit of basic online research to see the types of things that fans want to see.
You're
right.
Give
the people what they want, and you will have a more successful product.
Yeah, I don't know if this is J.K. It might be J.K. Rowling's fault at this
point. I was going to say,
because she's the one who's always been like, I'm not doing a Marauder story.
Despite everything that I've brought up, this series, this franchise certainly has been riddled with controversy on a number of different fronts, not just the author. There's been other things that have been going on with actors in the Fantastic Beasts series. So it hasn't been without its challenges, unfortunately.
For sure.
I guess one thing we could get a release of in 2023 is the Cursed Child stage play, professionally filmed, released on HBO Max. That seems like something easy for them. It could cannibalize ticket sales, which is probably one reason they've hesitated from doing this. Hamilton, infamously, we only got it on Disney Plus because of COVID. If COVID didn't happen, that would not have hit Disney Plus. They would have waited several more years before doing a filmed version of that. They did film the original Cursed Child with the original cast. We know that. So that exists. But, you know, they just want to wait to release something like that until they've exhausted ticket sales. But, you know, with the power of David Zaslav and this new mega company, maybe if they're really desperate to put something out, maybe that's something we'll see on HBO Max. Couple of 2023 predictions. Otherwise, maybe an expansion for Hogwarts Legacy, otherwise known as a DLC. For example, one of my favorite games of the year, Horizon Forbidden West, which was a sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, that was released on PS5 in February 2022. They just announced the first DLC last week, which will be out in March of next year. So I think by this time next year, we might hear about an expansion for Hogwarts Legacy. All the big games do this these days. They all do these DLCs to squeeze some extra money out of us. I mentioned there's no Quidditch in the base Hogwarts Legacy, so maybe Quidditch will be the big expansion there. Or maybe, because remember, Hogwarts Legacy is under this Portkey Games studio that's tasked with developing all the Harry Potter video games, maybe they are going to make an entirely separate Quidditch game. Eric and I, maybe Mike and Laura too, have spoken over the years about this Quidditch World Cup game that was out for GameCube and Game Boy.
Need a revamp.
It was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, do that. Do that again. I would freaking love that.
Yeah, that's a top five game of all the video games that have ever been for Harry. That's still in the top five.
What, you don't love the original Sorcerer's Stone game?
No, that's there too. Flipendo!
Flipendo!
We might also get more details about the third Harry Potter lands coming to Wizarding World Orlando. We actually did a bonus MuggleCast on this a couple of weeks ago. That's available on our Patreon. We found a lot of details about the forthcoming ride. That park, the new Harry Potter land, is going to be an epic universe. This is Universal's third theme park down there, with rides at least. And it's going to be a land in Epic Universe. I think it's not opening till like 2025. But construction's been going vertical. There's these theme park enthusiasts who are shooting drone photos like every week of progress. They're going to have to share details long before the park opens. Otherwise, we're just going to be able to figure it out from aerial photos. So maybe this will be the year that we hear more details about this new Harry Potter land.
One other thing I just looked up quickly is that it will also be the 25th anniversary of Chamber of Secrets. So that ties in nicely to our chapter by chapter. But I'm curious if they'll do anything around that anniversary.
Any other predictions before we wrap up?
I think we're going to have another great year.
Oh, yeah, that's a good prediction.
I think so, too.
Yeah, we're enjoying chapter by chapter. And we'll revisit that guess this time next year.
Yeah. Oh, I'm making a prediction.
Well, I think it will be a big year because, I mean, I don't have all the chapter or the amount of chapters off the top of my head, but we'll have Chamber of Secrets finished,
by February.
Sometime in February, we'll do Prisoner of Azkaban, which means we're going to start Goblet of Fire next year, too. So next year's going to be a big year because we're going to cover three books, effectively.
Yeah, and eventually we might go down to one chapter per episode. We'll see. Maybe starting with Goblet, if not somewhere in Prisoner of Azkaban, as the story gets more complicated and dark. All right, well, this is our final episode of the year. We will be off until January 10th. However, we will probably release one of our bonus MuggleCast installments from our archives to the public. So stay tuned for that. That'll come out somewhere in the middle of our break. If you want to get more bonus MuggleCast installments, and by the way, we're going to be doing two a month starting in 2023. You can go to patreon.com/MuggleCast and support us there. You get lots of benefits like ad-free MuggleCast, access to our recording studio. You get access to our exclusive Facebook and Discord groups. You get a new physical gift every year if you pledge at the Slug Club level. And you also get access to the MuggleCast Collectors Club if you pledge at the Dumbledore's Army level. So there's so much there, and your support goes to helping us run this show. So thanks, everybody. We're actually going to be recording a new AMA right after we record this episode. You'll be able to watch that online as well.
Just want to take a moment to thank everyone listening for another great year. Looking back, it's
another year gone.
Another year.
Okay, so it's time for our final quizzage of the year.
This question is relating to the next chapter we'll be doing. Which potion makes Madam Z. Nettles of Topsham, patron of Quickspell, the center of attention at parties? The answer is her scintillating solution. And correct answers were submitted by Artemis Fido Jr. II, Buff Daddy, Draco's Missing Wand, Dumbledore's Sock Knitter, Duval, Elizabeth K., Expert Potion Girl, Hayden B., Moody's Pegleg, Peyton Shannon, Remy, Slitherclaw Shell, The Plumping Pillow, Tom Riddle Is Kinda Hot Though, and Tonks Fan Forever. And here is another question from the forthcoming chapters. What does Oliver Wood say that the Nimbus 2001 brooms do in comparison to the Clean Sweep series? Submit your answer to us over on MuggleCast.com, MuggleCast.com/Quizzitch, or click on Quizzitch from the main nav. And shout out again to Kyle, the Hufflepuff teach, who gave us that name and lets us use it every week. Thank you.
Woohoo! Make sure you're following the show for free in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. And do leave us a review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And don't forget to follow us on social media so you can catch many more great posts coming up in the year ahead. We're MuggleCast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're an Apple Podcasts user, you can subscribe to the show for just $2.99 a month, and you can receive ad-free MuggleCast and early access to each new episode of the show right within the Apple Podcasts app. It's similar to supporting us on Patreon, and patrons get many more benefits, but if you'd prefer to just support us right within Apple Podcasts, you now have the option to do so. No matter how you support us, we really do appreciate it. So thanks, everybody. And I think that does it for this week's episode and the final episode of the year. Another year of podcasting gone.
Another year.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew.
I'm Eric.
I'm Micah.
And I'm Laura.
Happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll see you in 2023.